This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
Welcome to a Men in Blazers pod special. Our guest today is the striker who leads the line for Everton Football Club. Though still just 22 years of age, his strength and intelligence have empowered him to become one of the most dominant attacking wonders in the English Premier League. His goal this weekend, bringing his season's tally up to 16. It's a huge pleasure for me to welcome a man who learned his football on the streets of Belgium, picking up six languages along the way. A gent we admire, nay revere, despite the fact that he scored the goal that knocked the United States out of the 2014 World Cup. A wound from which many of you are only just beginning to recover. We welcome to the pod the one and only Mr. Romelu Lukaku.
Hello.
Hi, Romelu. Thanks for joining us. As I said in the intro, you grew up playing football on the streets of Antwerp and Brussels. So many of the kids you played with went on to become professional footballers. What is it about the streets of Belgium that make it such an amazing breeding ground?
I'll just say, like, the determination of players. I think the generation where I grew up in was a generation where there was a lot of competitions because you had a lot of good players playing in the same position, and then you had to work hard to be the best and to take your chances, and that's what happened, really. Every time when we went out there in the street, we used to play against each other, and then he got so big that even parents came down to in the street to come and watch us play. But then as a few of the players started to play for the big academy teams in Belgium, then that's when it really popped off, when people would like have games, and then you had like 500 persons to come or watch a game from under 15s or under 14s, or a national championship game between two big teams. And you know, we had a lot of great memories. And every time when we go back to every time when we meet up in the national teams, there are always stories told between me when I played against Kevin De Bruyne in under 17s, or when I played against Thibaut Courtois from under 15s until the first team. So I have a few players that I played against in the national team, and we have a lot of good stories in between each other.
One of the things I love most about your career arc, I mean, you were so dedicated early on. When you moved to Antwerp, when you were 13, you started doing 150 sit-ups, press-ups every morning. Mm-hmm. You ran to school 3 miles every day. Mm-hmm. What shaped you more at that crucial time, Romelu? The football you played on the streets or the lessons that you learned in the development academy?
I would say a bit of both. I was always determined to be a professional footballer because my dad was one.
Roger.
My dad was one. I used to take me to practice with my brother Jordan. We used to go and see him and run around and cry if we didn't have a ball and stuff. And like when I went to Anderlecht, that's when I really learned a lot about academy football, because I went from Lierse to Anderlecht, which is the biggest club in the country. That's where the best players in Belgium are. And that's where I faced competition for the first time. That's where I faced players who were better than me. That's where I had difficulties because I was playing with guys who were older than me because of my size and my strength. And that's when the hard work came in. That's when I knew I had to work even harder to be better than the others, because I knew I was always been a great goal scorer. I knew it because I always scored goals. Everywhere where I went, I always scored goals. But then it was like, how would you score goals? With the head, with your right foot, with your left foot? That's when I started becoming two-footed, and then the heading part, and then the dribbling skills, and that's where I learned everything. And then it just went really fast, because I went there as a 12-year-old kid, and then like 3 years later, I was in the first team. So it was really fast. It was really, really fast.
You made your debut not just for Anderlecht, but for Belgium. As a 16-year-old, you were 196 pounds. You were 6'4". Your first full season, You became Belgian League's top scorer at age 16, a national star. Romelu, in many ways, you were surely still a boy.
I was still in high school. I had two more years to go when I played. I was in the 10th grade when I made my debut.
I'm still waiting for mine, Romelu. I'm still waiting for mine at the age of 45. But you landed on Chelsea's radar, the team you supported as a boy, watching Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. By August 2011, when you were just 18, you moved to Stamford Bridge, 29 million, squad that would go on to win the Champions League, JT, Frank Lampard. Yeah. How did you feel when you first entered that dressing room, a dressing room you'd been in 2 years earlier on a high school visit? And you were placed right next to your hero. Your locker was right by the legendary Didier Drogba.
It was really scary at the time because I knew Chelsea was following me since I was 14. So I knew one day I would end up there. But it was depending, was it like for the academy or for the first team. So me and my parents made the decision to stay at Anderlecht, so I stayed. And then when I turned 18, then I thought like it was the right time because I scored 19 goals in my first season. And then my second season, I scored 20. So I was like, I did what I had to do in Belgium. So it was time for the next step. And then when your club comes, then you have to go and jump on the train. I was told my teachers that I would play there, that I would end up there. And as soon as the moment came, I told my teachers and I said to them, I said, you see, you have to believe and chase your dreams. And I went and then I remember my first day when I came into the dressing room. My boots were just there in boxes, and then I see like this guy coming in like big, massive, and I'm like, who's this? And then I was like, oh, there's Drogba. He sat down next to me. I'm like, okay, maybe that's like something that they do because like we had similar qualities, and you know he has to nurture me. And from day one, like he became. He and Anelka and Kalou and Bosingwa and Malouda were like my big brothers. Like they were nurturing me and learning me every single thing about hard work, dedication and winning mentality. And that year I didn't play a lot and I was frustrated at the end of the season. But that was the year that made me into the guy that I am today. And I always tell them I'm always grateful for that year because they learned me a lot. They learned me a lot.
You never played alongside Drogba in a competitive game.
No.
It was a frustrating spell, included just 15 appearances, two season-long loan moves, one to a beautiful, beautiful football club. How frustrating was that for you, and how did it affect your self-confidence, Romelu?
I mean, I must say, like, the first year, I was really down because, you know, I was 18, just got my degree from school, graduated, and my driver's license, and I left. I really left. I finished school in May, and in August I was on the train to go to London, and I didn't realize it. And it was like I didn't realize it after a week. Like, oh, I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm not at mama's house. I wake up. I'm alone. So it was really tough. It was really, really tough, and I was down as well because I didn't play. And that's where I really realized that I loved football more than anything else, because you know, when you play at a young age, you just live the moment. You don't realize how much you will love the game, and then at the end, when you don't play, that's when you realize how much the game is important to you.
I read a fantastic interview with you from that period. You said you realized you needed to make defenders scared of me, and you began to spend hours watching the best strikers on tape. Who did you watch, Romelu? And what did you learn to add to your game?
So I didn't have to watch Drogba anymore because I was seeing it every single day. Let me say that. So I wasn't watching him anymore. But then at the time, it was Lewandowski when he was coming up at Dortmund. I used to watch Ibrahimovic a lot. Adriano in his prime at Inter Milan. That was frightening. I had Anelka.
You said Van Persie has the best movement.
Van Persie had the best movement. He had the best movement. Like when I was at Arsenal, when he won the Golden Boot, he had the best movement I ever seen. His movements were unbelievable. Even in his first year when he signed for United, that's why they won the league, because he scored all the goals.
And the other player you talk about a lot beautifully, Thierry Henry. He had complete authority on the pitch.
Yeah.
Which is something you now have this season.
Yeah. Something like, from pre-season, I knew that like I reached another level in my game. And like, everything is going so well for me in pre-season. It was tough, but I feel that like I have the authority. And when my team needs me, I deliver for them. And I work hard for my team. And they're trying to look for me all the time. So it's something that comes along. And, you know, I really embrace the moments when my teammates need me and I have to deliver, because that's where the big players come up, and hopefully I'll get there one day. And that's something that Thierry Henry always had since the start of his career until the end. And that's something that I have now. And, you know, I know that I have to improve and get better every day to reach his level, because, you know, we're talking about the best striker in the Premier League, or maybe the best player of all times in the Premier League. So
I've got to touch upon the 2014 World Cup. It was a lot expected of the Belgium side and of you.
Yeah.
You had a challenging time. You later revealed your father, Roger Lukaku, had been hospitalised, and you talked about it only later. But you still managed to score the goal, which ripped the heart out of thousands of our listeners by destroying the World Cup dreams of the United States of America, Romelu.
Yeah, we knew a lot about them, and we knew we would have our chances. But we knew that the Americans had a lot of desire, and you know they would play like offensively. They were one of the best teams like in the World Cup, going forward, scoring goals, and never giving up. But then we knew like on the defensive side, maybe it was too open, and then we tried to exploit it. But Tim had his day, and when Tim has his day, it's a no-no. And I was lucky because, like, throughout the World Cup, I wasn't really with my mind in the World Cup, and I'm not the type of player who comes out with this personal problem. But I told the manager, like, I told him after the first game, I said to him, I'm not with my mind in the World Cup, because, you know, we're not talking about a friend. It's my father, my mentor.
First coach.
Yeah, my first coach.
I mean, it's something that's very hard to understand, because football, we treat football stars. We don't treat them as human beings with real lives off the field.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on athletes in general, you know, and mentally you have to be very tough. But, you know, at that point, that's where I'm very strong mentally. But at that point, that's when I realized that, like, sometimes in life, sometimes you cannot have everything under control, and especially your emotions. And that's where, for me, I realized that family for me is more important than anything else. And I wasn't really with my mind there, but after when I scored against the U.S., it was like, for me, it was like a mental test that I've won, because I've lost like my place in the team throughout the World Cup, and then delivering a performance like I did against the U.S. in a moment where the team needed somebody, then that was for me like a moment where I knew like, okay, I still got it in me. So
a moment I enjoyed a little more, to be candid, Romelu, was when you moved to Everton permanently, July 2014, $41 million. Dollars. It's still one of the happiest days of my life. I heard a story, Romelu, that as an under-13-year-old, you played for a Belgian club. Against Everton's under-13 side. You created two goals, the Belgians won. And on the Everton side was a 12-year-old...
Ross
Barkley. Is that true?
Yeah. He knows about it. Tell him. He still remembers. He still remembers what I did to him.
What a season you and Ross have had. 16 league goals so far. Roberto Martinez has hailed both your physical power and what he calls your elite brain. How much of Premier League goal scoring is physical, Romelu? How much of it is mental?
I would say 85-90% is mental. If you're clever enough in your movements and stuff, you can score every single game.
Let's talk about your movement. Whenever Ross, Seamus or Aaron Lennon get the ball, I always watch you. As soon as they get the ball, I always start watching you, because you immediately point to the space you want the ball, to your feet, your head. Can you talk about what goes through your mind that second on the field as Everton charge forward?
I was like, I take 10 pictures at a time. So every time when, if Aaron or Ross or Jerry. Or Kevin... Like, if everybody has the ball, I'll take 10 pictures at a time. I will have a look. Where's the goalkeeper? Where's the defender? Where's this? Where's that? And then I will try to find the space in front of me. If there is not a space in front of me, I'll go in behind the defense. But then I look at his body position. If his body is a bit more to the right, I know that I can run somewhere else. Where if he has to catch me, he will lose his feet straight away.
So you are computing 10 things in that one split second and making your decision.
That's what that many times I'm 1v1 with the goalkeeper because the defender cannot track me. Because before I will make my run to the near post or to the far post or in behind, I will make three or four runs before. And then at one point, bam, I just go and then the ball comes and I'm gone.
It's the happiest moment of my week, Romelu. It really is. Massive win for Everton at the weekend. 3-0 at Stoke. You scored the first.
Yeah.
Heard a rumour you had half a mind of doing the Roberto Martinez, Jason Derulo dance celebration.
I don't want to be on the bench the next game, so I'm not going to do it.
Everton, we need you, because Everton are now in eighth. They've looked so impressive the past 2 weeks after a long, lean, frustrating spell. What's changed?
We are better organised. Let me say, first of all, we don't concede goals. So now we are just organised, and we know that we are good at always going forward. So we go on the pitch like knowing that we can score whenever we want, because we are one of the best attacks in the league. But the thing to win games is you don't have to concede. So it's everybody has to work defensively so we don't concede, and then offensively nothing changes offensively because we know we can score whenever we want. It's really defensively where we made a big improvement.
You see Leicester City succeeding this season.
Yeah.
What do they have that Everton need?
They have the organisation. As I'm saying, Leicester have a very good defence and they are very well organised. So every time when they recover the ball, they play the pass. Like, the game tactic is really simple, but very, very effective. I've seen them play a couple of times. And it's really fascinating how they stick to that plan. Is being organised, everybody works hard defensively and they keep a good shape. They're a very good, difficult team to break down, but once they recover the ball, they don't think twice. They go forward, and then they know they're going to exploit the spaces, because if you're a team that always attacks and one guy goes forward and one guy goes forward, they will notice where the space is, so they will put the ball into that space, and then you will always be exposed, and that's why they always have like 3v2s, 4v3s, or Vardy running in behind. It's simple. It's simple, but it's also effective.
Simple, lethal, and effective.
Yeah.
We're getting to the crescendo of the season. What is success for Everton this season in your mind?
Simple, the FA Cup. And as high up in the league, but the FA Cup, they end up, like, do well in both competitions, you know. We can't really lean ourselves to one competition where you play once every every 3 weeks. So I would say do well in both and like keep the momentum going that we have now in the league, and then the FA Cup. The FA Cup is really something that we have to go for, you know. Everybody wants to win something.
I'm making a date for Wembley in my book. No one is listening to this, Romelu. Can I get a quick prediction for how Belgium are going to do in the Euros?
European champions.
So an FA Cup and then a European championship. It's going to be a great summer for you.
I hope so.
All right. Please, God, let me ask you a final question.
Yeah.
You're only the fifth player to score 50 top-flight English goals by the age of 23. Robbie Fowler, Michael Owen, Cristiano Ronaldo and Wayne Rooney are the other four. Amazing company. Mm-hmm. I've got to ask you, Romelu, when you dream at night, when you dream of the future, what do you dream about?
Oh, that's a good stuff. I'm a type of athlete that always sets himself some challenges, but on the short term. I just want to have a good end of the season, be as fit as I can to help my teammates win the games, win the FA Cup, and at the end of the summer, just be an European champion. That's for me. Like, those are my main goals for now.
Oh.
And then the rest, I just see. I know what I want, but I can't tell.
may your dreams come true, Romelu.
Thank you
for joining us. We wish you and all at the club Godspeed.
Thank you very much.